searching for things that actually, this is my goal, is to come up with things that have things to do with Tina's beaches.
Awesome!
Or
yay!
Water, or that sounds like, I'm strained, I work at some of quite a little long shot, so I have sections of poems, like this first one, Burn It In. Once I was on a beach off the west coast of Florida, it was New Year's Eve, and the yellow moon hung over the gulf like a swaying lamp. I was watching the waves crash in front of me with a friend, and the wind picked up, and my friend just looked at that moon for a little while, and then he closed his eyes, and I asked him what he was thinking. He said, I wanted to look at this scene and remember it, record it in my mind, burn it into my brain so that I could have it with me always, so that I could call it up whenever I wanted. I do have my recorder. I burn these things onto pages. I pick and choose what needs to be said, what needs to be recorded, what needs to be remembered, including things like this one, which is called David. I remember being in your car, driving back from Tiger's Hill Beach. My skin felt itching from the salt. My feet were sticking out the window, up against the rear view mirror. Thank you for holding my hand. It was then that you told me that you wanted me to marry you. You never asked me to marry you, but you told me that that was what you wanted. You later even gave me an engagement ring, an emerald-cut emerald. But then you first said that it was a Christmas present, apparently never willing to actually ask. I remember thinking that we could never get along for any length of time. I mean, you didn't want to leave Canada. I didn't want to leave the United States. You wanted to backpack around Europe. I wanted to get a job, an apartment, some security. Vacationing at the tip of this peninsula seemed to be the only way that we could meet. But even though my skin hitched from the salt, from the sand, and the sun, in that time of year, it felt like we could go anywhere.
Woohoo!
I get that.
That guy's smoking in a wheelchair and he's like...
This is part of a piece that is called, I Dreamt About You Last Night, which actually starts with a song from the Smiths, which had a cool line that fit into it. I dreamt about you last night, and I fell out of bed twice. You can swim out me like a butterfly. They say that dreams are your chance to think about the things that evolve from your day. And I keep dreaming of you. Don't I think about you enough? You're the one who died. You're the one who left me. Why are you coming back at night when I let Mr. Prentice down, looking into my window and working your way? I dreamt about you last night. I was on a cruise ship and you were working as a waiter. You were wearing one of those silly short jackets in your uniform. And every time I thought I saw you, you would turn away and do your job on the boat. All I ever thought was to do was walk away. I keep thinking that all my days are finally complete, but they're not. I keep thinking about you, and it isn't enough. I still can't escape your
life. Yeah!
Burrow their way into the sand, but they're gorgeous little things, and I've seen them, and so this piece was called Zucchini. boat rides off the coast. My parents and their friends here at Tiny Island House. Dad drinking beer. Women sitting in the shade together on the boat, worrying about their hair. I would sit at the front, sunglasses, swimsuits, and sunburns, feeling the wind slapping the face. Stopping at the shoreline, everyone jumping out, little bags in their hands. The women go looking for shells. The men go barbecue. After an hour or two of sandwiches, potato chips, tea, the soda and beer almost gone, we turn around and head back. We have conquered. And I remember the coquinas, the little shells. You find them alive in the beaches and over here in Naples. Going to the beach, I would look for a spot to find them. They burrowed their way into the sand to avoid the light, worming their way away from me. I unearthed a group of coquinas once, fascinated with the color of their shells, the way they move, before they could talk. I collected them in a jar once. I took them home. What did you teach me? What did you tell me to do? I took them home. I added salt water and sand, but I couldn't eat them. I realized soon that they would die. With so much.
Stop.
I put some pros in here as well. This one is in a time capsule, actually. Near this part where this was written about, the elderly in a park that is called a child in the park.
Right there, now stand up.
This is no ordinary park,
mind you.
There were no swings or children laughing. There were different things there. People drove golf carts around in the park, or large tricycles, or older couples would walk together just at the beginning of the turn to dock, get long shadows from the treetops, crisscross, in front of them. In the afternoon, the woman would go into the water, going to wear their hats and sunglasses. I spent hours people there like Ira and Betty Wiggins, who saw me once and asked me if I wanted to catch a lion. They then took it to him and then pulled up an ant lion from the top of the sand hill. It was like another world there. And the park was where I spent my Christmases, my Easters. I remember swimming in the water.
Daddy's legs are gone.
I remember swimming in the water a week shy of 13 when my parents told me that I was an ant. Well, actually, my sister had a son, so they told me I was uncle. But now I talk to my sister on the phone, and she asks me if I remember so-and-so from the park, the couple that had the snow shoveled against their light stamps, the words "Rust in Peace" painted in white on the metal. Yes, I remember that. Well, so-and-so passed away last week, she said. Heart attack. This is what it comes down to, I think. All these memories are slowly disappearing, like grains of sand in the wind at the beach. So many memories, where there are palm trees everywhere. It was my other world, my other life, another lifestyle, another everything. This was not an ordinary park, but the children were much wiser and thrilled, so full of life. So much to teach. So little time. I can't really get my hands through the light on the phone. Because I get to a whole new mood with this one. I should dedicate this to the person that lived through this, which is Poor John. This is a true story as accurately as I can depict that this is called Freedom Just Past the Fence. After working for the Army for years on repairing jet engines, I ended up being stationed in Pennsylvania one summer repairing air conditioners and refrigerators. I'd only do a little work and then have nothing to do for a day or two. But the thing I remember is that at that time, Cubans were defecting to the United States by boat. They'd sail to Florida, most of them dehydrated and all of them malnourished. The U.S. government didn't want them spreading diseases in our country, so when the Cubans would appear off the coast of Miami, the military would be waiting to make sure that they were healthy. Well, all I knew is that they got all these Cubans into trucks that we call cattle cars, with only a few benches, and trucked them up to Pennsylvania, where I was, and the military gave them some shots to make sure that they wouldn't die. So these people, after escaping their country in a shoddy wooden boat, were taken by the U.S. military, herded into a boxed-in truck, and shipped up the country so that they could be given shots and detained. These Cubans, who came here wanting freedom, now had to wait in a fenced-in area until they were treated and given food. And it was my job to make sure that their fridge and air conditioner was working. So I sat there for a day or two at a time, drinking cans of beer and looking out my window. I had a view of the razor wire fence, and all I remember is seeing all these Cubans. They were leaning on the chain link fence, wondering if this is what it was like to be free. Holding onto the metal, looking out to what they were sure was freedom.
Thank you.
I'll try to make them less moody now. This one, parts of the poem were based on the fact that I love to travel. Oh, you've got the shell.
Careful, no.
It's going right over everything. I'm like, it's going right over everything.
Yeah, not a good idea. This is the sand where the sand is.
Plus the parts that...
I wrote a long poem about traveling, being on an airplane, looking at the view of everything while you're in the air. So I pulled a couple pieces from it, and it's about travel, but it's about the things that you see from up high. This is part of the poem called In the Air. Over Phoenix, preparing for another descent at 8:50 p.m., it's usually just being late dawn, as it is now. I'm getting used to the schedule now. The mountains from up here, they look like mountains that you see on a topographically correct globe, like ridges, and they're made of sand, and you could just lean your head down a little bit, and you're exhaling with them all just blow away and breathe. I love the city lights from above at night, too. Have you ever heard of all the power that it took to light all those buildings? All that energy? And every time I look down at those little lights, out that window with the curved edges from my airplane, all I can see is string after string of yellow Italian Christmas lights hanging across the ground. Flying in the air from somewhere warm and dry to somewhere warm and clear, I see over Fort Myers, where the city always looks so much different from every other place.
We don't have
like marshes, like you just landed somewhere so foreign and pretty soon the big tour will begin. And you can feel the heat, the humidity sticking your shirt to the back, to your back between your shoulder blades, and to the back of your neck too. You feel it sticking up your neck too, even from inside of your cabin, before you even land. I like the window seats in an airplane. I looked really out through the window. I mean, clouds look like cotton balls when you're way above them. And when you're landing, cars look like little ants on a mission bringing food back to their food. Little soldiers, back and forth. And the streets look like veins, capillaries in some massive, monstrous body. And the farmland looks like little squares of assorted different colors. I wonder why each plot of land is a different color. What's growing there that makes them different? or maybe it's just that some of them are trying to change the red and brown, and some of them are
dying. Yeah, it's just a sticker.
And it always seems to be tough to put it up to someone who's either too wide for their seat, or is a businessman, their newspaper stretched out on their table, and they've got their laptop open, and they're making money. Or else, you barely have a child behind, and they're bawling their eyes out for half of the flight, and they're kicking your seat for the other half of the flight. Once, I was on a flight back from D.C. A flight attendant was walking around with a stack of magazines and a can of Time, Newsweek, magazines. I asked her what she had, and she looked at me and she said, "Oh, these magazines are for men." I asked her again, "What magazine do you have?" I had already read Time, so I This next one's a piece of prose, and it's called Age, and I have to say this. I wrote this when I lived probably about 160 miles away from Great America Amusement Park in Gurnee, Illinois. I now live a mile to a mile and a half away from Gurnee, but that has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that this mentions the place where I actually live now. This is a piece called Age. Sometimes when I get behind the wheel of a car, I feel like I'm at Six Flags Great America Amusement Park in Gurnee, Illinois again, and I'm 13 years old, and I'm able to drive one of those bumper cars. And it's such a thrill, because, I mean, I'm 13 years old, and I can't drive, and now I'm in control of this huge piece of machinery. And granted, there's this wire sticking into the car that we can look for Steve for, but it's done, but at least now, for once, I feel free, that I can just go. Go faster than I ever could by running, or even by my roller skates or my bicycle. And when I get that feeling and I'm behind the wheel of a car, I want to just start going really, really fast, not on this abandoned road, flare some rock music, roll down my windows, and turn up the heat because of the middle winter. Sometimes, when I go out on a new date, I feel like I'm 16 again, and I'll race into my closet deciding that I have absolutely nothing to wear. And then he'll pick me up, and we'll go to a restaurant with deer heads down the walls, and we'll have whiskey sours, and we'll struggle with our lettuce leaves and our salad because they're too big and we're not supposed to be able to use our knife. And when we're done with dinner, we'll go to a bar that's so crowded and so loud that we won't be able to talk to each other, but we'll have to stand real close. And then he'll take me home, and I'll invite him in, and he'll sit in the chair. I'll sit on the couch, and he'll ask for a glass of water. Well, we can't think of any more small talk, and the clock says 3:12 a.m. I'll see him to the door. He'll kiss me goodbye, and I'll lock the door after he leaves. When I'm sure he can't see me through the window, I'll then turn on my stereo and dance in my living room before going to bed. Sometimes, when I get home after 10 o'clock from working overtime on my computer, I just want to retire, to quit the work, to stop it all. I see my parents after a life of working at the construction site and raising five children, now beginning to relax, buying a small home in Southwest Florida, playing tennis in the morning, playing cards in the afternoon, drinking with other retired couples in the evening. Sometimes another couple invites them out to a boat ride off to Marco Island, where they smoke cigarettes, drink a few beers, drive the boat slow enough to make sure that there's no wake when they're by the pier. Sometimes I look at the computer screen I work at, and I remember how computers used to mean video games. I remember when I was 8 and I would sit with my best friend in the upstairs den on the floor in front of the old television set to play table tennis on the Atari. Times change, I suppose, and I reflect on the beaches and the boats to Marco Island and the sand between your toes and that feeling that there's so much left to love in life. a cool one. And it's the last piece. But they're all gone. This is a piece that's called clay. So I was at this bar off the coast of Florida, the west side, the Gulf side, you know, and I was at this bar called Lana Kai, and with my friend who gave me a ride all the way up from Naples to this 45-minute drive south of the place. And so we were sitting there at this bar, which was half indoors and half on the beach, and all these old men kept staring at my friend's chest. And a couple of guys bought a beer, and one guy asked me to dance. I was surprised that he asked me to dance, not my friend, who I'm usually more attracted to her. But the guys were jerks anyway. I mean, one looked like a Marine with a haircut. He must have been high on something. One looked like he had decided to forego hygiene. And another one was twice my age. Not as if I'm trying to pick up men in bars anyway. So after a while, I couldn't stand being at the bar next to the reggae band that was playing. So I begged my friend to come walk out on the beach. Christ, I felt like a 10-year-old with a bucket and shovel again when I kicked off my black suede shoes and just ran into the water. I always loved the feel of sand when drenched in water. It feels like clay as it sweeps around my toes and pulling me into the ground. So there I was, splashing in the water, wearing a black sequin dress, throwing my purse to the shore, taking a swig from a can of Miller Lite. This was life, I thought, pure and simple. An army couldn't drag me out of that water. So my friend found some guy to hit on, as she usually does, and she wanted me to hit on his friend. I found this guy, this friend, ugly as all sin and impossible to talk to. I told him actually that one of the rafts on the shore was mine, and it's better to actually drive it from one of the sails. And this guy actually believed me. Oh God, I told my friend that there was no way that I was going to go with him, and she was just pissed off that I didn't think that he was a crash. So then he strolled up to the bar.
Woo-hoo!